This is Norm Diamond with an unusual episode of Another World is Possible. Coming out of the pandemic fog, I've seen a couple of performances recently that are worth calling to your attention. One that's already happened, and even if you can't any longer see it, is still worth knowing about, and another that's just starting up and will be playing from now into July. The first was a remarkable modern dance performance by the Northwest Dance Project. The second, a joyous and novel presentation of Shakespeare's play, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Both had interesting and affirmative political visions. The Northwest Dance Project performance integrated a political understanding that all by itself would be familiar to listeners of the Old Mole Variety Hour, but was unexpected for an audience of generally older, white attendees able to pay the ticket prices in the city's prestigious Performing Arts Center, and was extraordinarily well done. The program consisted of two choreographed dances to two compositions by Russian-born composer Igor Stravinsky, The Rite of Spring and Petrushka. The Rite of Spring was beautifully danced, as was Petrushka, but the latter brought something more, an ongoing narrative and commentary integrated with the music that's quickly dispensed with the conventional story of a puppet's unrequited love. After that, the dancer slash narrator went on to address Stravinsky's fascist leanings and support for Mussolini, all as part of the dance. She interpreted some of the newly choreographed movements as they happened as a response to, quote, the horrors of late capitalism. She initiated a discussion of racism by telling how one of the characters in Petrushka has been danced in blackface in the United States all through the 20th century and as recently as 2015 in Florida. The presentation of A Midsummer Night's Dream at Portland Center Stage didn't add any words to what Shakespeare wrote, but did something else to challenge the play's conventions and provide new insights, in particular, into its sexual politics. Underlying the fanciful plot, if you remember the story, is an extreme version of paternal authority. By law, in the fictional Athens where the play is set, a daughter must marry the man her father chooses or be put to death. It's that law, and a father's insistence that it be enforced, that drives the young lovers into the forest where all the merriment and confusion the play is known for ensue. The starting point for the gaiety, in other words, is Shakespeare's exposure and critique of patriarchy and rigid, unfair laws. Gendered, unequal power in relationships is a repeated motif. The fairy queen and king fight over an orphan she's adopted and wants to raise. The king wants this little boy instead as a servant. Through brutal trickery, he gets his way. I've seen the play staged with a full-on emphasis on sexual violence. Even without that extreme interpretation, A Midsummer Night's Dream is a play about sexual politics, about who decides, who can be in an intimate relationship, with whom, about desire, what influences it, and its consequences, about unequal relationships, how they're negotiated, how they're resolved, and at whose expense. In broader scope, it's also a play about people acting against their own desires, against their own best interests. The explanation Shakespeare offers maybe love charms or invisible fairies, but he wrote in a time when witchery was considered part of an explanation for aberrant behavior, and people, primarily women, were condemned and punished horribly for their supposed influence as witches. The play asks its characters, and directly its audience, whether everything we've seen might have been only a dream. But there's a suggestion that dreams may be liberatory, and that underlying the normality of our lives, another world is possible. that potential, what the world could be, is also a reality, one that transcends the empirical world we inhabit. Some of A Midsummer Night's Dream wisdom comes through that fanciful alternative world. It may be expressed by fairies, invisible representatives of the natural world, but it speaks to and for all of us. The exploitive relations of our society, what they call our dissensions, have consequences that undermine humanity's ability to live in the world. They cause pandemics, rivers to overflow, seasons to change. Here is Titania, the fairy queen, protesting the fairy king's domination. "Never since the middle summer's spring met we on a hill, in dale, forest, or mead, by paved fountain, or by rushy brook, or in the beached margent of the sea, to dance our ringlets to the whistling wind, but with thy brawls thou hast disturbed our sport. Therefore the winds, piping to us in vain, as in revenge, have sucked up from the sea contagious fogs, which, falling in the land, hath every pelting river made so proud that they have overborne their continents. The ox hath therefore stretched his yoke in vain. The ploughman lost his sweat, and the green corn hath rotted ere his youths attained a beard. The fold stands empty in the drowned field, and crows are fatted with the Murian flock. The nine men's morris is filled up with mud, and the quaint mazes in the wanton green, for lack of tread, are indistinguishable. The human mortals want their winter cheer. No night is now with hymn or carol blessed. Therefore the moon, the governess of floods, pale in her anger, washes all the air, that rheumatic diseases do abound. And thorough this distemperature, we see the seasons alter, the hoary-headed frosts fall in the fresh lap of the crimson rose, and on old Heim's thin and icy crown, an odorous chaplet of sweet summer buds is, as in mockery, set. The spring, the summer, the childing autumn, angry winter, change their wonted liveries, and the mazed world, by their increase, now knows not which is which. And this same progeny of evils comes from our debate, from our dissension. We are their parents and original." I mentioned that the production at Portland Center Stage adds a thoughtful new dimension to these underlying issues. In every staging I've ever seen before, the characters are either women or they're men, clearly distinct. The four couples, the three to be married, and the fairy royalty are heterosexual. In this production, while the language continues to be gendered, and as written by Shakespeare, many of the characters, but not all, are ambiguous. The result is not so much disconcerting as insightful. Patriarchy continues to be a problem, but problematic too, we now see, are unequal power dynamics within relationships more generally. This is a production worth seeing, playing at Portland Center Stage till July 2nd. And this is Norm Diamond for the Old Mole Variety Hour.